All right, hey, let's get into Colossians chapter 1 as we're going to begin a new series called Stand Strong. And we're going to look throughout the Bible at scriptures where the Bible says God's heart for us is to be strengthened or to stand strong. And we're going to look at the associated principles or postures that we can put ourselves in to position ourselves and prepare ourselves to walk in the strength of God. And so Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 are the key scriptures for the series. But every now and then, I just look for the opportunity for us to read an expanded passage of scripture together as a church family. And so let's do that today, picking it up in verse 3 of Colossians chapter 1. So much to be encouraged by in this passage right here. It says, "We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved coworker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all of his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." Let's pray today before we get into God's word a little further. Father, we thank you for the power of your word, and we thank you for the power of your presence. And Lord, we lift up this congregation, every person, every man, every woman, every marriage, every young adult, every young person who's in this room today and those joining us online. And we thank you, Lord, for your heart to strengthen us as your people, for us to be found standing strong in the midst of a world that is shaking. And I thank you, Lord, that you would use this message, use this moment to speak uniquely and individually to every one of your precious sons or daughters today. You know their names, you know their stories, you see the chapter within the story in which they reside in today, God. And Lord, some people are on the mountaintop of success, Lord. Some people are in the pit of despair, God. And we thank you that you are able to speak to every person today, Lord, regardless of where they are, God. And I pray, Lord, that those who need encouragement, who need comfort, who need peace, who need healing in any area, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, Lord, would you do that today by the power of the Holy Spirit? And Lord, today, anyone who needs fresh faith or courage, Lord, to take another step or to keep moving forward towards your plans and purposes for their life, would you bring that today in the mighty name of Jesus? We welcome you, we honor you, we invite you, we thank you in advance for everything that's in your heart to do in our hearts today in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So it says there in verse 11, we pray that you will be strengthened and that you will be filled with joy. So God's heart for us is to stand strong, to be strong in the Lord. Being strong and courageous is one of the most frequent commands of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong." So God's heart for us is to be strong in the Lord. Definitions of strong include these: capacity for physical or mental accomplishment or endurance, power and ability to resist opposition or attack, to be equipped to accomplish, succeed, or achieve victory. So when God says that he wants us to be strengthened, to stand strong, his heart for us is to have the capacity for physical or mental accomplishment or endurance, the power or ability to resist the opposition or attacks of the enemy, and to be equipped to accomplish, succeed, or achieve victory. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And so in this sermon and in this series, my heart for us is to discover that the strength that God desires and is inviting for us to stand upon is his strength by his grace. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So this is not about us becoming perfect. This is about us placing our dependency upon the only one who can bring true spiritual strength to our lives, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, a relationship with our Father, enlightened by his word and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So in this series, strength through the grace of God. In this series, strength renewed or restored to anyone who is currently experiencing a moment of weakness or despair. That God wants to strengthen you once again. That God wants to visit you in that place where maybe you once were strong, but now feel weak or far from God. His desire, his heart, and his hope, my prayer is that God would strengthen some of us in a new or a fresh way so that we can once again find our footing in Christ and so that we can once again begin to not just stand, but move forward in the strength of God's grace towards the purposes and plans that God has, the hope-filled future that he has for every one of us, according to Jeremiah chapter 29. So his heart for us is to be strong, to stand strong. Philippians 4:1 says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, stand firm in the Lord this way. So verse 1 says, stand strong, stand firm this way. Well, what's the way that we can stand firm, stand strong? Well, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Someone say rejoice. Strength and joy are associated in the Bible. Wherever you find the word strength, you almost will always find the word joy and vice versa. And we read about it in Colossians 1:11, that you would be strengthened, and in the same verse that you would be filled with joy. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and 25 through 27, we read about some of the attributes of God and watch what it says. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and joy fill his dwelling. Where you find God, you find joy. And where you find joy, you find strength. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So I want to talk to you today about the strength that we find in the joy of the Lord. And to understand something, that joy is different than happiness. That there's a happiness that the world says that you need to pursue and be about, and God wants you happy. Some of this is somewhat semantical, but joy is superior to happiness. Happiness is fleeting and circumstantial. It's transactional, and it's dependent on how things are going for us in life. But the joy of the Lord transcends our circumstances. I like to think about it as this way. Happiness is like the fruit on the tree of our lives. Joy is like the root of the tree of our lives. Fruit is seasonal. Fruit is conditional on the conditions, on the weather, and on the atmosphere. But there's a joy that God wants to be found so deeply sown into our heart that we are rooted and grounded in a joy that even on my worst day, I still have a joy that is found in my relationship with Christ. I still have a joy that transcends that temporal, fleeting, transactional, circumstantial, situational happiness that is tied to how things go in my life. So as I dug into this and began to study this, I discovered something that was really powerful and awesome. And I really appreciate that even after 2 decades of serving the Lord and studying the Word of God, and you could do it for so much longer and still be amazed to discover something fresh or new or insightful from the Word of God. It's boundless, it's limitless, the revelation and the encouragement that can be found from the Word of God. And as I was studying this word joy, here's what I discovered, that the Greek word that we translate, the English word joy, is the Greek word chara. And as you dig a little deeper into what that word literally means in the Greek, this is gonna blow your mind, right? Here's what it means. It means grace recognized. It means awareness of grace. And so where there's an awareness of the grace of God in our lives, the goodness, the forgiveness, the mercy of God, the things he's done for me, And I don't know about you, but because I've experienced the grace of God, I'm getting things I don't deserve, and I'm not getting what I do deserve. And so an awareness of grace is associated with an increase of joy. And isn't that amazing? That the word we translated to joy is an awareness of God's grace in our life. And so the world says to be happy, you gotta have this and that. You gotta, their 401k has to be increasing, your bank balance, your promotion, your possessions, the popularity and the applause of people. But God's word says there's a joy that you can discover when you have an increased revelation of the grace of God that you have discovered through Jesus Christ. And so we can have joy in all seasons, all times, in all circumstances. James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So it says pure joy. I think it's important that there's an adjective there. Why does it say pure joy? Because I believe that what it's saying is you're gonna have opportunities when you're up against trials and tribulations, temptations, to express a joy that is because of God's hand upon your life and his goodness and faithfulness, the promises that are set before you in life that are not tied to how things are going for you in this life. That there's a purity of a joy that we can express even when things are not going our way. Even when we suffer the setback, even when we suffer the loss, even when something unforeseen, unfair, or unexpected happens to us, there's a purity of a joy that can still be found and expressed because of this revelation of the increased awareness of God's grace towards and for us. And we can't determine what's going to happen in life. And there will be trials, there will be tribulations. Jesus said, so we don't do any Christians, new believers, any favors by promising them or encouraging them that they're still not gonna have to go through some stuff. But the thing that we can promise them is that they're gonna go through it now with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the enlightenment of God's word, and the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit as they navigate the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations. So we can't determine what we're gonna go through in life, but we do get a choice and a chance to determine the attitude that we will have towards it and what we will call or reference the things that we go through in life. The world says that's a failure or a loss. If you're serving God, it's a learning opportunity. And there's a statement in the world, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But with God, the better statement is sometimes you win and sometimes you learn. You get an opportunity to have something informed in your spirit to know, I might have really suffered the setback or the loss. I might have really suffered a defeat, but now I'm inspired, I'm motivated, and I'm gonna be better equipped for the next season, the next chapter, the next opportunity that God gives me to step into that thing once again. My weakness is a vehicle for God's strength. My mistakes are a canvas for God's grace. Delay, something that you hoped for, prayed for, thought would happen by now in your life. I promise you, I've learned this to be true in my life over and over and over again. It's almost always a season of preparation to better prepare me for what I'm believing and hoping for, so that when I step into it, what I'm praying for will not be a burden but a blessing. Disappointment, something that I thought was gonna go one way and it went another way, something I was hoping for, longing for, something that I thought was gonna happen in my life, a person that I wanted to date or even marry and it didn't turn out. Can I tell you what I've learned? Is that disappointment is almost always God's protection and his better plan connection. And the evidence of that in my life is sitting right over here. There were some times I was disappointed that relationship didn't go forward, and it was God's protection and better plan connection. So we don't get a choice with everything we go through, but we got a chance and a choice to determine the attitude we're gonna have towards it and what we will reference or call it. So this idea that there's joy that transcends the temporal, circumstantial, transactional happiness, it's this increase of our awareness of the grace of God operating in our life. And I wanna encourage you with seven steps, seven things that I believe we can do, we can purpose ourselves, we can posture ourselves to position ourselves to walk in the strength that comes from the joy of the Lord. And number one is just to value it, is just to see this differently, to see that if joy is spiritual strength in God's kingdom, we need to make sure that we are valuing joy. that when we're experiencing some of the ups and downs in life, that we realize that some of those things that maybe are circumstantially causing those things are inevitable in life. But I can afford to be discouraged, but I cannot afford to stay discouraged. And I've got to value this idea that God has called me to walk in spiritual strength. And the way that you walk in spiritual strength is a greater awareness of the grace of God, which we call joy. And can I tell you, because God desires for us to walk in spiritual strength through joy, you better believe that the enemy is working overtime to introduce or create circumstances or situations in your life to steal your joy. Because if he can steal your joy, it's not just the loss of a positive emotion. It's actually putting you in a weakened condition where you are more vulnerable to the attacks and schemes of the enemy. So we got to see this differently. We got to begin to value it. We got to understand this is not just some candy-coated thing where we're skipping and dancing and walking and singing through life. This is a firm awareness, an increasing awareness, a deep abiding revelation that even when I'm going through a difficult day, a trial or a tribulation, there's a joy that I can have because I am aware of who my God is, what he's done for me, in me, and through me. Someone say amen. So we got to value it. Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. If Jesus needed joy to fulfill his purpose, so will you. So we got to value it. We got to begin to say, this is something I need to get serious about. This is something I need to be monitoring in my life. How's my joy? Am I living with that awareness, that deep abiding revelation of what God's done in my life? Number two is sometimes we're gonna have to persevere. We just read about it. Jesus endured the cross. There are gonna be some times to get to the place where we are walking in the joy. We're going to have to go through some things. Weeping may endure for the night, Psalm 30 verse 5 says, but joy comes in the morning. John 16, 22 says, therefore now you have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice. And your joy no one will take from you. So let me encourage you today, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Don't get stuck in a difficult or painful chapter of the story of your life. And it's what the enemy likes to do. He comes into our lives and we're really going through a difficult season. We really did the thing, said the thing, made the mistake, suffered the setback. And the enemy takes a Polaroid of that moment and holds it up in front of you and says, see, this is what your future is going to look like. And I'm telling you that God is writing a story and he's making a movie of your life. Don't get stuck in one difficult, painful moment of your life. Invite the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit to put his hand upon yours and continue to write the story of your life. Allow him to help you to turn the page. There's a new day. There's a new chapter. There's a better day. There's a better chapter. And I promise you, if you'll continue to love God and be called according to his purpose, he's still in the business of working all things out for your good. And I'm telling you, at the end of your story, there is a good ending because God is in the story. Someone say amen. Amen. So we got to value it. We got to persevere. And number three, we got to protect it. We've got to protect it. Proverbs 4 verse 23, one of my favorite scriptures says, above all else, and then gives us an instruction. So we probably ought to pay attention to what's next. And here's what it encourages us to guard your heart. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Another translation of the same scripture says, it determines the course of your life. So we protect things that are valuable to us. We lock our doors at night and set our alarm system to protect our precious families. We set the passwords and the encrypted things to protect our assets and our resources, our finances. We protect what we really value. And so as I'm encouraging us to begin to value the joy of the Lord that is our strength, what's it look like for us to put a guard upon our heart? Recently, in our house here in Lawrence, we've been having some problems with our home security system. It's been jumping on and off the network, so it's constantly chirping at us, and we've been working it out. We got it. It's fixed, by the way, so bad guys, stand down. Your opportunity, your window closed. It's fixed. It's repaired. It's functioning. But it reminded me of 13 years ago, when we loaded up a U-Haul truck and departed Abilene, Texas to move to Brownsville, Texas to take an associate pastor position for Good Shepherd Community Church in beautiful Brownsville, Texas in the Rio Grande Valley, right on the border with Mexico, right there in the tip of Texas where South Padre Island is right here in Matamoros, Mexico is right there. Shout out to all my peeps down at Good Shepherd and in Brownsville. And we moved down there on New Year's Eve day. I don't remember exactly why we moved on December 31st. I think it had something to do with some of the responsibilities that I needed to finish up for Champions Church and some of the, maybe the accessibility that we had to the house that we were going to rent. We signed a 6-month lease. Our house had not yet closed in Abilene where we had sold the house. And we also just wanted to kind of find, scope out the lay of the land, kind of get familiar with the city a little bit before we committed ourselves to purchasing a home in Brownsville. So the folks were kind enough to hand off the keys to us, even though it was kind of a holiday as we pulled into Brownsville. And we went, some people showed up, we unloaded the truck, and then that night we were going to bed. It was New Year's Eve night, and around here on New Year's Eve, there's a few fireworks that get shot off. But let me tell you, in Brownsville, in the culture there, I mean, about midnight and all throughout the night, there were some amazing fireworks that were going off that were keeping us up. I mean, we were going to bed and the party was just starting in Brownsville, Texas. And I'm pretty convinced that the fireworks that they were producing and going across the border to purchase in Mexico probably were not legal in Lawrence, Kansas, if you know what I'm talking about. And so I was already struggling to sleep, and because every couple seconds, you know, there was this big boom shaking the windows of our house. And as I was laying there awake in bed, I started to just have this attack of fear. I was like, oh, man, we just moved in. There's a U-Haul truck parked outside. People can see that. People know that. And I've got this key, and it's a holiday. I didn't have the chance, even if I wanted to change the locks. And so who else has this key or a copy of it? Who has access to our house? And I just began to just be have this fear that was going off in my heart, like as I was just kind of just struggling with this. And so my baseball bat and my sidearm were pulled a little bit closer to my bed that night as I was struggling to sleep and just kind of wrestling with this scheme of fear. How many of you ever had kind of a scheme of fear come upon you in the middle of the night? And I was wrestling with this, and finally about 3 a.m., the fireworks began to subside, and I fell asleep. And within moments, the alarm system of our new house began to blare, not chirp, blare, like full-on invasion alert. And I was like, someone is about to die, and it is not going to be me. Not tonight. No way. Not today, Satan. And my heart, can you put yourself in that place with those circumstances? My heart was beating 1,000 beats a minute. As I walked through that dark house and turned on all the lights and was just not knowing what to expect around any of the corners, and I finally made my way to the alarm system and realized that as we were installing the washer and dryer, someone had bumped the cord to the alarm system. It had come unplugged. I eventually found out the battery backup was dead, and so I don't know whose great idea it was to not have that just chirp at you and remind you to check it out instead of a full-on invasion alert. But thankfully, it was a false alarm. Here's the spiritual encouragement that I want to give you today. Some of us would do well to have an alarm on the door of our heart to begin to tell us or inform us that there's an invasion, a spiritual invasion from the enemy who comes to only kill, steal, and destroy. And when he comes to steal your joy, he's not just trying to steal a positive emotion, he's trying to steal your spiritual strength to cause you to be more susceptible to the schemes and attacks of the enemy. And so above all else, guard your heart. Let's protect this joy. Let's begin to recognize those moments in time where maybe previously, because of a disappointment or a discouragement or something unfair, unforeseen, unexpected, that would previously have caused us to maybe get in the ditch of depression or despair. In this day, in this hour, can we just commit ourselves that when that alarm begins to go off, when someone says something to you or something happens to you or doesn't go your way, that we would begin to say, hey, I'm guarding my heart. And maybe in a previous season, that would have caused me to get way off track. But in this season, I'm staying the course. I'm guarding my heart. I'm holding the schemes and the attacks of the enemy to steal my joy at bay. Someone say amen. Amen. Number four, I want to encourage you that one of the ways to protect our joy is to remember all that the Lord has done for you. And we tend to get kind of swept up and caught up and focusing on the things that haven't yet happened, the things we've prayed for that God hasn't answered or hasn't done. And the enemy loves to do this because it causes us to kind of get swept up in that disappointment and discouragement, and we begin to fix our eyes on some of the few things that maybe aren't going our way, when in reality, if we were intentional to sit and just remind ourselves about all the ways that God has moved, all the blessings that we have. Yeah, maybe in the midst of some real challenges or obstacles, but I promise you, even when you're going through some obstacles or challenges or opposition in your life, if you will slow down, if you will take a moment, if you will sit down and maybe even write down all the things that the Lord has done for you. And can I encourage you, there's some things that God has done for you that you can't write down because you didn't even know that he rescued you, preserved you, saved you, redirected you, and kept you from going through some things that the enemy had up his sleeve for you. So let's not lose track of all the things that the Lord has done. If you've got breath in your lungs, you've got reason for joy. And the enemy comes and he tries to whisper in our ear. And today, let me encourage you, don't forget all that the Lord has done. Deuteronomy 28 is where we find the scriptural language for this. It says, if you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm for the abundant benefits you have received, you will serve the enemies whom the Lord will send against you. Here's what it means. If our response isn't serving God with joy and enthusiasm in light of all the things he's done, the grace of God that he's given us, the mercy that he's afforded us. And I don't know about you, but because of what Jesus has done, I'm getting a lot of things I don't deserve and I'm not getting what I actually deserve. And he says, if you don't serve the Lord with joy and enthusiasm, you'll serve the enemies. And we see it. In that context, it was actually a physical and spiritual encouragement. In the new covenant that we walk in, we see it. If we allow ourselves to not be mindful of and grateful for all the ways that God has moved in our life in a way that causes us in our response to serve him with joy and enthusiasm, we end up serving the systems and structures and things of this world. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Another translation of the same verse, may I never forget the good things he's done for me. Don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget where he's brought you from. And every now and then, I believe it's not a bad idea to just imagine where you'd be without him. Don't forget all the good things he's done. Number five is avoid the pitfall of comparison. And there's this little statement that you hear, comparison is the thief of joy. And I believe it's also the initiator of pride. That's a message for another day. But it really is the thief of joy. And we find scriptural language for this encouragement in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4, where it says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Can I encourage you, if this was true and important to embrace 2,000 years ago, how much more today? In a social media culture where we are bombarded with everyone's hand-picked, airbrushed images of their achievements, of their accomplishments, of their vacations, of the things they've acquired, the things they possess. Can I just tell you, let's unsubscribe from this comparison that is the thief of joy. Let's commit ourselves that we will be found taking responsibility for the only thing we are really responsible for, and that's becoming the best version of who God has called you to be and become in your life. You can't worry about what they are called to do or what they're up to. Just settle into what God has made you. I'm telling you, he has created and called and appointed you to be just who he needs to fulfill his purposes in your life. Don't compare yourself. Take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Number six is secure the source. And Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And is it possible that there's an order of importance that's being established here? Love and joy right there leading the list. And I don't know that there is, but here's what I do know is that love leads the list. And we know that in the Bible, the greatest of these is love. So the fact that joy is number two on the list, maybe it's high on the list of things that we ought to trust for the Holy Spirit to bring in our lives. And here's the encouragement. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and fruit is perishable. So we've got to secure the source, and the source is Jesus. And there's this powerful illustration that speaks to this. In medieval times, when they would determine the geography, the place where they would position to build the castle and the walls surrounding the castle that would become the hub for the community, there were many things, many factors that they would consider, but one was more important than them all. And it was, if we build right here, do we have a renewable source of fresh water, of life-giving water? Because if there was not a source of water to be found in that place, if the source of water was outside the gates and upstream, the surrounding enemies and nations, all they had to do was go upstream and introduce pollution into that source of water and then just stand back and wait. And they would do this by introducing death and decay, dead and dying things, into that source and then just stand back and wait as it drifted in, and the people inevitably were forced to consume it, and they did not even have to lift a shield or a sword as they saw disease begin to settle in, and they then could ransack and overtake that place. And I'm telling you, the spiritual truth for us is this: where's the source of your joy? Is it external? Is it upstream? Is it associated with things that you can't control? And in this season, if that's true for you, the encouragement, the invitation in this day, in this hour, is to make Jesus, make the person of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, the source of your joy. Secure the source. Because the enemy of our soul likes to do the same thing. He goes upstream and he introduces death and decay. And then he stands back and he just waits. Can I tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. Because Jesus said that he was the one that we could anchor ourselves to. He's the vine, we're the branches. If we remain in him and he in us, we will bear much fruit. Number 7, I'll close right here. This is the biggest encouragement of this entire message, is that joy can be restored. Joy can be restored. The psalmist said it this way: restore to me the joy of your salvation. The joy of knowing that I might really have some troubles, I might really have some problems, I might really have some opposition, I might really be up against some things. But there's a joy that comes from this deep awareness, this deepening awareness of the grace of God that was extended to me through the perfect life shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, that has made me new, has made me whole, has washed me clean, has completely forgiven me, reconciled me, redeemed me, and restored me to a relationship with my Heavenly Father. The psalmist said, I don't want the joy that comes with the things of this world. I don't want the joy that comes with the circumstances and the transactional things. He said, the joy that I'm asking to be restored in my life is the joy of my salvation. I may be going through some things, but God has loved me, chosen me. He came for me. He gave his life for me. He went to the grave for me. He healed me, changed me, restored me, and has promised me an eternal home where there will be no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrows, just joy forever around the throne, forever reunited with those who have gone before us. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Would you stand to your feet today? And would you ask the Lord, what are you speaking to me today? Where is it that maybe I'm in a weakened condition that in this moment you're looking to bring spiritual strength to my life? Where is it that maybe I have outsourced my joy to temporal things, to circumstantial things, to trivial things, to worldly things, to people who maybe can be a blessing or an encouragement to my life, but can never become the source of my joy in life? And if the Lord highlights one of those things to you, just allow him to give you the grace today to say, no more, I'm securing the source. And the source of my joy will be my relationship with God through the person of Jesus. The source of my joy will be the promises I have in the Word of God. The source of my joy will be a daily relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. The source of my joy, my kara, will be a deepening awareness of the grace of God that's been afforded to me. So as you continue to just listen to whatever it is the Lord is speaking to you, however it is he's strengthening you, Would you allow me the opportunity to give people the opportunity in this room and online to receive the free gift of salvation? That's the language of the Bible. You don't get good to get God. You can never earn it or deserve it. Not even with a religious life. You can never earn it, never deserve it. It's a free gift. And God comes right into the middle of our darkness, our despair, our sin, our shame, and that's where he reaches out. He comes to us and he rescues us. And so if that's you, there's a free gift that you can receive by faith today, the grace of God. Or maybe you're here today or joining us online and you once knew God, loved God, maybe even served God, but today you find yourself far from God. For whatever reason, got caught up with the cares and concerns of this world, maybe got caught up or swept up with the wrong crowd. You're far from God today if you were honest with yourself. And if that's you, Jesus told a parable, a story about someone like you when he told that parable of the prodigal son, the wayward one who went to his father. Remember what he said? He said, give me what's mine. And he went and lived in the world. And like is inevitably true for any of us who've gone and tried that, he found himself eventually at the end of himself, the end of his funds, and the end of his so-called friends. And Jesus tells the story. He says he came to his senses. In other words, he said, what am I doing out here? He said, maybe, just maybe, I can get up and go home. And maybe, just maybe, my father will welcome me back, even if just as a servant in his house. And it says he got up and he began that journey. And the father saw him from a long ways off. Why is that important? Because it tells us that the father was looking for, longing for, praying for, eagerly anticipating and expecting that moment when the wayward one would just begin to come back home. And the story concludes with the father running and embracing and welcoming that wayward one back home, not just as a servant, but fully restored as a son or a daughter in the house of God. And so that's the posture of the father towards you if you find yourself having drifted far from him today, arms wide open, ready to receive you back into a relationship with him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, here's what I wanna ask you to do. If you're in either one of those camps or anywhere in between, you need to receive that free gift, forgiven of your sins. You need to come back home into relationship with your father. Right now, without delay, would you lift your hand as high and as fast as you can as an outward sign of an inward work? What really matters is the work that God's doing in your heart. But this is just the first way that we can begin to respond and receive what it is the Lord's doing in your heart as he's washing you clean, as he's forgiving your sins, as he's making you new and making you whole, as he's welcoming you back into relationship with him with open arms. Thank you, Jesus, for these precious people. Thank you, Lord, that they are being born again. Thank you, Lord, that all the old things are passing away. They are becoming a new creation today by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and by the faith that they are placing in the name of Jesus. If you raised your hand and there were many, you could lower it. And we're gonna ask you to take a second step and pray a prayer, but we are not gonna ask you to pray it alone. You're gonna hear the sound of this entire church family praying it with you. And we do it as a sign of support for you, and we do it every week to remind ourselves that we never graduate from grace. So come on, maybe with some fresh joy in our hearts, repeat after me and say, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price that I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you my life and I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, say aloud, I'll never be the same. And then rejoice with all of heaven. Hey, God bless you. I want us to worship the Lord one more time and then Luke's gonna come and dismiss you. Man, I pray that the joy, the increasing awareness of the grace of God afforded to you, that kind of joy, would be your spiritual strength today and all throughout this week. Amen. God bless you.